This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special Capaccio for you, right?
Yes. Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, Carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a Carpaccio.
They like Carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a Capaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
We might be on the cusp of a big idea in here.
Is that what this is?
We've been watching the end of the Europa League championship. Bulldogs' favorite, Manchester United, losing to Spurs here. And we've just been sort of talking through this game during the breaks about soccer. And like everything we know is kind of like we half know it.
Right.
Or quarter know it.
I mean, you're talking about how good Bruno Fernandes has been for United and how he's not going to, you know, be much beloved at all because they don't win anything, but he's been great. And like, he does. And I'm like, I don't know. I know what I'm talking about over here.
Everything each of us is saying, we're just like not sure.
Right.
Who's playing whom on Sunday? And is this the first time this has happened? Basically, it'd be, we're thinking about a soccer podcast. Like the, who are the two guys with the big podcast? See, this is what I mean. We don't even know the name of their
Men
show.
Men in Blazers?
Men in Blazers.
I don't know their
only
names.
Only it's us. Yeah. And we don't have, and we don't ever look anything up.
Right.
Yeah. And we just sort of talk like this about
right.
it. The show probably sounds like that normally to some people.
Sure. Yeah.
We're always
some,
just like
yeah.
not really, yeah. we don't really have it.
Right. I didn't know we were really planning for this when I started, but like, well, of course, Tottenham wins Europa. That means they're in the Champions League next year. United gets nothing. Like, they made the final. Do they at least get back in Europa next year? Like,
No, I don't know.
Okay. Boy, that stinks.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Let me just throw this out there. Sal, would you like to be our first guest on our new soccer podcast? Doesn't matter if you know anything.
Two guys clearly. Who know nothing is clearly. The name of the podcast.
No pressure.
I would fit right in then.
You fit right in.
Two guys who know
right
little. I'll go with little. We don't know nothing. We know enough just to be stupid about it.
Your thoughts on Richarlison's performance today for Spurs? You know, when you want to, when you get around to it. There is a lot of football, and a lot of it's interesting stuff today. I don't even know really what the right order is. Let's start with Hard Knocks. That's a pretty cool thing. I'm sure we'll see a lot of you, Sal, in the course of the series. What should we know about like how they get chosen? I know there's like sort of a process of elimination piece and other factors that go into it.
Well, according to what I knew, you know, for years, you know, the Bills would not be eligible for Hard Knocks. But I do know they did tweak the rules over the last year or so. And with the new rules, it apparently, you know, the Bills would fall under those rules.
By the way?
Why were they ineligible and what changed?
That's what I'm figuring out to make sure without giving wrong information. But I think here's one thing.
The playoffs?
Teams that made the...
Go ahead.
You ready?
Yeah.
Teams that made the playoffs in the previous two seasons can no longer opt out.
Oh, okay.
So because the Bills, now previously, because they'd made the playoffs, they could opt out. Teams with first-year head coaches were also ineligible. Obviously, that didn't happen. teams that have been on Hard Knocks in the previous 8 seasons were also ineligible. So I guess that covers it, right? I just want to I just want to kind of get everything in here for why that would be the case. So therefore, that kind of made the Bills eligible. What I don't know though is like, you know, what the process was with the NFL going to them yet and like asking them, and if the Bills, you know, didn't want to do it, but the league forced them. They basically said, yeah, that's fine, we'll do it. Those kinds of things we can get answers to. But yes, the rules change, where the biggest thing was, we all knew the first-year head coach, that was a big thing. But if you had been in the playoffs the last 2 seasons, you could opt out before. That is no longer the case and was not. So the Bills can be in it.
Well, I think they're a fun choice.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I mean, look, they have a lot of storylines, right? I mean, I heard you guys talking about, could they focus on wide receiver because of, you know, the comments that were made. Sure, that's possible. I mean, do they focus on Josh Allen? He's the league MVP. He's getting married this offseason, right? Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of a layup storyline. What Hard Knocks normally does is they focus on kind of under-the-radar players who can, you know, maybe make or break, you know, being on the roster and don't know. Is there somebody like that on the roster they'll focus on? Will it be Joe Andreessen, local guy, right? Little things like that they would focus on. How about DeMar Hamlin? Obviously, with DeMar in training camp and his story, that would be something I would think that they would highlight here. So I just think there's a lot of angles they can go with here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thinking of the sort of under-the-radar guys, I'd seen a story about one of their street free agents, and it's a receiver. Okay, so, I mean, it fits thematically, certainly with our agenda. Nod, wink, wink. I think it's Virginia Tech, right? Steven Gosnell, who's had a bunch of injuries, but great hands. Kind of, he reads like a Mac Hollins on paper. And when I first came across a story about him after, you know, maybe a week or two after the signings of all the undrafted free agents, I thought, this is a guy that the fan base is going to get a look at, and if he catches everything, it's going to be, I don't remember the kid from Nebraska now, Brendan Riley? Like, it's going to be another... Brandon Riley. Thank you. It's going to be a version of that. Like, I wonder if that's the first guy I'm thinking of. When you say under the radar, I just feel like that guy, before I knew about Hard Knocks, has the potential to be a guy that we are getting asked about, like, you know, pretty regularly.
Yes, I agree with that. They're looking for the underdog storyline, right? A storyline that fans who aren't really fans of the team can also kind of get to know and be familiar and get invested in, right? You know how that happens with characters and anything. That's just what TV is all about. They get invested, and I think that could be the case. But obviously, there's going to be some with Josh Allen in there. I think that he just presents his own. And then, you know, you in different levels of Hard Knocks, I've watched most of them over the years, you get varying degrees off-the-field stuff. Sometimes you get way more off the field with some teams than others. Sometimes it's just strictly on the field. So I wonder about that. You're at Pittsburgh, you're in Rochester. There'll be some days in Buffalo, I'm sure, on the off days. You also have preseason games that are featured during these training camp Hard Knocks. You know, that'll be a part of it. That's back in Buffalo. But I wonder how much off the field, how much in Rochester, how much in the dorms, things like that. That's always different depending on from team to team.
One more idea I think that could be an interesting segment in Hard Knocks would be Milano. And like where he's at in his career. We know he's not really talkative, but just like we're all kind of wondering, right? Just where he's at, what the contract thing meant to the Bills' idea for his future. And maybe we'll get to training camp and he's like, I'm as good as new. And maybe we'll get to training camp and he's got work to do. You know, like that's a little bit of an uncertainty. And he's been so good and so much a part of all their winning that I might think he would be a good, you know, name for the storyboard.
Yeah. I mean, I think a guy like Joey Bosa would be good for a story like that, right? Like a follow around, like at this point in his career, he switched teams from L.A. to Buffalo. You know, where is he at his point in his career with some of the injuries and things like that? You know, and then you'll just get your characters. You know, Deion Dawkins will be a character on there. There's no doubt. Like, he'll just have the personality. You guys mentioned Keon Coleman earlier today, I heard. And, you know, that's right. That's a character. And there'll be different kinds of, you know, angles for those two guys specifically, you know, but no doubt about that. And let's remember, this is the training camp Hard Knocks. There are two different versions now of HBO's Hard Knocks. The other is the in-season Hard Knocks. That will feature all four NFC East teams. They'll follow the NFC East teams, the Giants, the Commanders, the Eagles, and the Cowboys throughout the season, and they'll make a Hard Knocks for the 18-week, you know, regular season with them.
certainly as it comes closer, maybe we'll have more clarity, or maybe it'll wait until camp actually opens and there's a mandatory report date. Of course, we'll have a mandatory mini camp before then, but the James Cook piece will maybe be an interesting piece to watch. Like, it, you know, how much behind the scenes we get from either side, his side or the Bills side, you know, and that's assuming, and I don't have to be right about this, that they don't come to some kind of an agreement between now and the summer.
I wonder if Hard Knocks could help the Bills with Cook. Everybody's different, but you know, he's out there talking about money and making a somewhat of a spectacle about the season he had. And now Hard Knocks is coming to Rochester and he's going to skip it. Like, that'll be a big story if, like, where is he?
Yeah.
Yeah. For
but,
sure.
For sure.
Know, if he comes in and, like, there's no problem. I, you know, my time will come and like right. that and he could score points.
I agree. I mean, we'll know, you know, before they get there kind of a little bit more. Maybe, I mean, we don't have to know that, but if he shows up to mandatory minicamp, then that might be a good sign. If he doesn't, then there's going to be a lot more
yep.
kind of thinking about that and watching. But even if he does show up to training camp, there's a storyline there. And Hard Knocks has had these stories over the years, these contractual stories and things like that, and the Antonio Brown saga with the Raiders a few years ago, right? I mean, there's always been something. There's often been something mm-hmm. along the lines of that with these stories.
There could always be a hold in with James
yeah,
Cook,
that's
too.
Right. That's right.
Like he's on the field, but he's not.
Yeah, he's there and just not participating because he's not happy with his contract. That's more and more the move now.
So that'll be fun to talk about and to watch. The Tush Push was not banned. 10 teams voted against a ban. They needed 8 or 9. So it was enough to, you know, not have there be a ban. The Bills were not one of them. They voted for the ban of the Tush Push. But Philadelphia gets its way. Jason Kelce shows up. I wonder, Sal, like, I want to hear how you read sort of the way today transpired. I wonder how many teams might have been on the fence going into today and maybe were swayed. Like, the reporting was, and the betting line even was, this was going to happen, and then it didn't.
I think that's probably a good, you know, a good assumption that at least a few teams might have been on the fence, not knowing. Then you get there and you kind of hear the hubbub. You get a feel for it with the, you know, trial balloons or whatever. People putting things out there in the media and reading some of the public backlash or public support and how it goes. And eventually maybe you're like, you know, you don't want to be the team on that side of it, right? You don't want to be a team that gets, okay, well, we sound like we're crybabies or something. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe you're a team that you're really not sure. And then you hear a guy like Jason Kelce talk about it and he says, hey, I heard him a clip of a podcast that I saw today. He said to his brother, if he just had to do 80 tush pushes a game, he would do it. Like, it wasn't actually as bad as people said on his body. Now, there were reports about that being the case, that it was just, you know, really tough on him and other linemen. His own owner, obviously, Jeffrey Lurie, and, you know, they had a lot to say about it. So, no doubt, I think it could have been different, you know, walking into the meeting versus walking out of the meeting in the vote for some owners.
So Sean McDermott, of course, on the competition committee, started like the Bills window into this, so to speak, talking about why he would be, you know, for all intents and purposes, for a ban. The Bills end up voting for the ban, and again, it doesn't pass. I would imagine there are discussions, McDermott being even Terry Pegula, but I wonder if it would have been McDermott's call. Or do you think not? I'm on the competition committee. I'm not saying he was flexing, but like I'm in the room and this is how I feel as the head coach of the team. Do you think maybe the Bills would have given him the, you know, the leeway to decide on behalf of the franchise, or maybe not?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to if they'd give him the leeway to decide, but I certainly would think his voice would carry a lot of weight in this discussion because he's on the competition committee and because he's the head coach of the team both. So if Terry Pegula and Brandon Bean feel strongly the other way, maybe they vote the other way. But I think this is an indication that they're probably leaning on Sean. He's giving them a recommendation. And maybe they both feel the same way and say, no, no, no. And maybe they're convinced by Sean McDermott. But I definitely would think that Sean McDermott's voice would carry a lot of weight in this for them, for sure.
We're going to watch Philadelphia go week to week and use the tush push against teams that voted to ban it. Every team they play except Detroit voted to ban it. And Bulldog brought up earlier, will the Bills still run it?
Yeah. With McDermott being as front and center as he was about the injury concern, I wonder I wonder where he ends up standing when it really comes down to it. They need a yard, and you want to win football games, and, like, do you still continue to use it? Because, you know, a principled stand obviously would be like, I don't think this is safe. But if it's within the rules, I mean, I think you're probably going to go ahead and do it.
None of it's safe.
Right.
Well, it's a good question. I do not think the Bills will stop using it, because through our conversations with Sean McDermott, I think that he's kind of made it clear that he has one hat for the competition committee, has one hat for his head coach of his team. The competition committee, Sean McDermott member, says we shouldn't have this play. It's tough on our guys. Safety concern around the league. We don't have enough data yet to completely show all this. He understands this. He said this. But, you know, that's kind of what he feels about it. However, if it is in the rule book and we're good at it, then we should be able to use it. Right?
Yep.
Like, I think that that's to me where he's going to fall. I don't think that he's going to say, I'm not doing it because I voted against it, because that would look really bad. I think he's saying, as a competition committee member, I don't think we should do this in the league. But hey, guess what? Since you're saying, to me, it'd be the same thing as, okay, if he voted against it, it was also a rule. In this rule was pulling the runner forward. Is he going to instruct his guys now not to pull his runner forward into the end zone because he voted it? No, he's not going to do that.
Right.
It's part of the rules. You can do it. You might as well do it.
And for what it's worth, and I don't know I guess I don't see enough of a difference, but I feel like he has tried to differentiate what they do, if not more than subtly, from what the Eagles do. So maybe that's his out. Like, you can just say, like, you know, we never really did exactly what they do anyways. It's not, what we do isn't as dangerous, maybe. I don't know. I don't want to put words in his mouth. But I do know, am I correct about this? There's been some effort made to differentiate their version of it from the Eagles.
Yes, and I mean, without, like, I'd have to go back and see specifically, but I think of Reggie Gilliam here talking about how, you know, even he would make sure he's lined up in a certain spot or something like that. And maybe that's even rules or stuff, something along that line, those lines. That's right. I mean, yes, I think that's the case. And look, I think that's why this is where the ambiguity part comes in. And part of the reason why I believe part of the reason why it actually did not pass is because of the wording and the confusion from a lot of people of, well, how are you going to enforce this? How are you going to see it? Because I believe, and I've said this to you guys, I believe this should be banned, but it's not about the tush push. I don't care about that's not the play I don't think should be banned. I just don't think you should be allowed to push a runner forward intentionally. Okay, high school, you are allowed to push the pile. You are not allowed to push the runner. But as people correctly say, well, what's the difference? Can you really tell? If there's a bunch of guys in there, how can you tell? And I would think there's a lot of people, and going back to the owners' meetings in March, I will tell you that that's what the discussion was. It's like, hey, we had this rule on the books before 2005. We kind of should go back to that. That would eliminate the tush push. It's not voting against the tush push. I think that's what a lot of that's today's talking point. And I think that there's probably some of that. I think what's really happening here is people debating, should the overall concept of pushing runners forward be allowed? And the tush push is part of that concept.
Yep.
Protector of the year. I didn't know much about this, but I guess I see that Deion Dawkins is getting a lot of credit for inspiring the idea.
Deion Dawkins was on the first I had heard this. Maybe I'm sure it had been percolating before that.
But the award show, wasn't it?
No, it was actually the week. It was the week of that or before that.
Okay.
He was on Colin Cowherd's podcast on his radio show. And Deion Dawkins was on Colin Cowherd. I happened to be listening. He goes on Colin sometimes. And he said on there, he said, you know, these guys, I think they were talking about Josh winning the MVP, right? Like, if he should be able to win the MVP or if he's going to. And he said, hey, listen, it's great and all that. And they get in all these awards. He's like, hey, defensive linemen can win defensive player of the year, but offensive linemen, there's nothing for us. It's always the skill guys. It's the quarterback, the running back, the wide receiver. He's like, I really think that we should have something like this. And he said, and I've talked to people about this. And so I think it was percolating. And then when you get to the award show, that's something else that it just kept going from there.
Yeah.
And really, I had not heard much on it since then. So for today to happen, I think it's super cool for Deion Dawkins and for the league. It is an award that, you know, should be recognized in some way. You guys know, I mean, I'm involved with the Trench Trophy Award in Western New York. That is the award given to the best lineman. It could be offensive or defensive lineman. The reason I'm involved, my old high school athletic director and defensive coordinator, Carl Curris, who passed away last year, he founded that award. He's the one that said, we should have an award because the Connolly Cup is always given to the best skill guy in Western New York. Well, we should reward the linemen. And he founded that, and it's become a really, really big deal, and it's been super cool to watch. And just from that place, I see what Deion's doing at the NFL level to get to where it is today, I think is super cool.
Yeah, look, I don't need to be inundated with more and more awards. I mean, there's the weekly, you know, the FedEx, Air Ground, whatever, all that stuff. But, like, end-of-season stuff, we talked about this back in the winter, maybe when Dawkins first talked about this with Colin Cowherd, like you're referencing, and I said something about, like, college has, you know, the tight end,
yes,
the Mackey
Award.
Outland Trophy.
The Outland Trophy. Yep. They've got all these different tiers, you know, in addition to the Heisman. So, I don't see why you shouldn't have that in pro football. Sal, overall, it feels like a big L today for Roger Goodell. It was thought that he wanted the Tush Push Band. It was thought he wanted the seedings revamped for the playoff field. They were going to talk about a contract extension for him, and none of that happened as these meetings have come to a close. It's not often you see him the contract extension thing could just be logistics. I don't know, but nothing really happened positively from his end here that maybe he was hoping to get.
Yeah, it's a good point, and I agree with you that it was very much reading like Goodell wanted these things to pass that did not pass, right? Specifically the playoff seeding, and that's where the push went to the Lions. Hey, you know, you guys want to propose this or whatever. And the Tush Push seemed like it was something too where he was on that side of it. So it is really interesting. I don't know about the contract thing. That's very possible. I think now for the last three contracts, they said he's going to serve one more and that's it. And then he signs another one. So it just winds up happening, you know, every single time. So we'll see where they go with that. But you're right. I think it reads to me like, you know, today probably wasn't a good day for the commissioner and things that he wanted.
We really are out of time. But Sal, have you ever, some of these rule change ideas we get time to sit with?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down. we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
And ponder, have you ever heard of moving the onside kick up by 1 yard before today?
No, and I think there's got to be data points about this, right? There's got to be. So, you know, when we get a chance, we haven't talked to Chris Tabor yet, the Bills' new special teams coordinator. That'll happen sometime soon over the next, you know, the medias that we're going to have. I'm going to ask him. You know, we'll try and find out, you know, what was the data point. I'm sure we'll find out a little bit more, some background, but I'd never seen or heard anything like that until today.
When are they back on the field?
Tuesday, May 27th, next Tuesday. I shouldn't say it. They're on the field. Like, they're on the field this week. We are down there on Tuesday.
Okay.
They are on the field every day, pretty much. They're doing stuff, you know, different kinds of workouts and things like that. Next Tuesday and then the following Tuesday are two media days for us to talk to people. And then the following week, mandatory minicamp wraps it all up, June 10th, June 11th, and June 12th.
All right. I'm making a note not to take Tuesdays off for, like, golf or something else because I want to be here for this. The media days. Sal, thanks for coming on today.
All right, you got it. Thanks.
All right, it's our dude Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Your calls are welcome on the news of the day, 803-0550. Mike Shope and the Bulldog. This is WGR.
Man, I tell you what, does it become an explosive play ever? Have you ever seen a tush push become an explosive play?
It'd become a first down or a touchdown.
Yeah, I like explosive play. I like big plays. I like big plays, so I'm not a big tush-push guy myself.
Ben Johnson, Ian Harditz tweeted about that. I guess he wants explosive plays from the 1 yard line.
Right.
I mean, just the reporter says it could be a first down or a touchdown. He's like, whatever.
Give me the circus.
So
I want excitement.
So
more excitement than that. The touchdowns are pretty exciting.
Touchdowns are boring. I want explosive plays that end up in fumbles, and that's even more fun. Put the ball on the ground, see if you can come up with it. Challenge yourself out there. Don't make it so easy, just running into the end zone.
With like 800 pounds of guys pushing you from behind.
Yeah, like that's...
Anybody can do better. Anybody could do that.
Will we see... I mean, kind of a fun day. Some interesting developments with the league. 803-0550 if you want to chat about it with us. Will we see onside kicks in the third quarter, the first half? You still have to announce them.
Mm-hmm.
I would think there'll be games that are 35-10 in the third quarter, and teams will try an onside kick because they're so far behind. But is anybody going to do it and the score is 10-3?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
You'd have to be way behind.
Because the value, it's not exactly the right way, but the surprise element doesn't exist. Like that was that's why the Saints in the Super Bowl against the Colts to open the second half gets so much credit because you're not expecting it. It certainly surprised me watching the game. It surprised a lot of people. I think it surprised the Colts. And so if you could surprise somebody with it, then that's one thing. But if you can't, if you got to tell, you know, okay, hey, I'm going to do this. I at 10-3 in the first half, I just can't. It would take a big set of you know whats to do that, I think, as a coach.
Well, what do we have with kickoffs now? They're trying to find a middle, like a happy medium, I guess I want to say. The touchback is the 35 now.
Mm-hmm.
If I go for an onside kick from my 36, which they decided today would be the yard line. They moved it up a yard, so you're a little bit closer together. What about player safety? You're a little bit closer together and have a better chance at like forcing a fumble, maybe on an onside kick. The difference there is 20 yards,
right? Your own 45 versus their 35. Yeah,
yeah, that's one good play.
I just think the surprise element not being there makes it very unlikely.
It does. But I think the math should help the cause, this point about the yard lines. I think that should help. Now, you don't have to kick a touchback. You don't even want to, right?
Right, exactly.
What are we thinking you want to get out of a kickoff? You want to kick it in that landing zone? Man, the new words. Yeah. The last couple of years in football. When did tush push even?
Yeah,
a lot of new terms.
The reason they've moved the touchback to the 35 is to be a touchback deterrent. So if teams are going to, you know, like last year at this time, I did not think we'd see as many returns. So credit to the league. I was wrong about that. So I thought everyone would just kick it out of the end zone, go 30-yard line, 20-yard line, 25-yard, whatever. I don't want the return.
See, by the way, like, I hear you say that now, and I think of it like you were right. Because there were still tons of that. Maybe there were more returns than you thought. There were more touchbacks than I thought.
Oh, okay. Well, we both win.
That's right.
I just think the data tells you that the move worked well enough that they got a bump in returns and a significant one that I did not see coming. So now the 35, I just, after last year, I want to be pretty skeptical that teams would be okay with that, right? Because like you're saying, 20 yards, 25, 30 yards, you're at field goal range already. So the 35 is scary, I think, to coaches. So they're going to want to try to find, as best they can, a reliable way to land it in that landing zone and then go cover the kick. Which, again, last year at this time, I thought they wanted to avoid that because it's new blocking, and I don't want to get burned by a long return. So 30-yard line, fine. Now that it's a 35, I think we see more of that. But I just don't – I don't think this onside kick thing moves the meter for me much.
AFC Championship kickoffs. Kansas City kicks off, touchback. Bills punt. Chiefs touchdown. Kansas City kicks off, touchback. Bills field goal. Bass kicks it off to the one yard deep. They run it out to the 32, by the way. Next scoring play is a Cook touchdown, Tyler Bass touchback. Kansas City scores, Butker touchback. Kansas City scores again. Butker kicks it into the end zone, returned out by Ray Davis. Every kick in this game so far, as we're at the 2-minute warning, was kicked into the end zone. The Bills score, Hollins touchdown. Man, I don't remember this game as well as I thought I would. I've got Kareem Hunt and Juju Smith-Schuster on. We're sure this is last year? So, Bills score late in the first half. Bass kicks it 8 yards deep, returned out, and that's the end of the half. Second half kickoff, Bass kicks it 3 yards short. So, that's the first kickoff of the game that did not go into the end zone. Cook touchdown for the lead, Bass touchback. Fourth quarter, Mahomes touchdown, Butker touchback. Bills tie it on the Samuel touchdown. Bass kicks it 10 yards short. Return to the 32. Chiefs take the lead for good. Butker touchback. That's it. I mean, that's a lot of touchbacks. Did you get sick of me saying the word touchback? I was starting to get sick of myself saying it.
It's one game.
That's one game, but that's, I think, the best way to determine these things is just to pick out one game.
Use a shorter sample size. Yeah. No.
The shortest possible sample size. If you just look at the first quarter of this game, all touchbacks.
Yeah. I think it's notable that some of those did get run out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like that was, and that's, I think, why I would want to give the league credit to say that the tweaks they made before last season worked because. With you know the different rules about how you can cover everything, I think it made it more advantageous for teams to say like maybe I can do better than the 30 with these different rules about coverage. So anyway, I think they got what they wanted. I don't know that now that the they should I think even get more of what they wanted is where I'll leave it for me anyway. With the touchback being the 35.
I want to try this out, too, and really explore this, the onside kick point, back to that. So we'll see what happens. You know, maybe the touchback choice will look okay once we get into the season and teams are able to get the ball out farther on returns. You know, more emphasis on the return game, tougher, more stress on the kicking team, and maybe an average drive start is more like the 40. After this, then I've got, say, just pretend that it is. We're a month into the season and the teams are running the ball back past the 35-yard line all the time or enough times. Kicking teams start to just take the touchback because they can't defend it. Okay. Now, the onside kick, if it's going to be a difference of like 15 yards or maybe more, like you usually kick it, you have to kick it past the 45 for it to be legal.
Right. It's got
to
be 10. Well, it'll be 9 yards now, but 10 yards. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's going to be nine. Yeah, I don't know.
I assume that's why you moved it. Moving it up and then backing that up would be dumb.
I do too. So, you know, most onside kicks are going to get to like the 50. And now where are we? Now I have not a high percentage, but a higher percentage of a recovery versus a difference of 10 to 15 yards. If
right,
we have something. Yeah. Surprise or not, I've got a much better chance at keeping the ball with the onside kick
or at
option.
At least a chance, right? Yeah, right.
A chance. I mean, I could recover a fumble on return, but
that's right.
Yeah. I think this would happen more frequently than that. And so, okay, and the one point that always gets left out in these kind of field position conversations is if your scoring drive takes, I'm losing, if your scoring drive takes less time, that's good for me. So if your offense is great, you're the Bills, you're the Chiefs, Baltimore, like you're tough to stop. You know what? I'll take my chances on an onside kick. You start from the 50 if you recover. Because I really can't stop you anyway. Instead of three plays being a field goal, now it's two.
Yeah.
I get the ball back quicker. Yeah.
I would expect that more, but not in the first half of games. You know, how far are you going to be behind that early? I mean, it could happen. I'm not saying it couldn't.
But I just wonder how close we get
later in the game. Maybe
I wonder what would the math would have to be for it to come out to like almost equal.
Yeah,
maybe it's not that far away.
What I'm thinking about, and I first had this thought, you know, months ago when these changes were approved at the last round of owners' meetings here, touchback to the 35. There is, I don't know that this was a change. I think this was there last year, that if you could get the ball to land in the landing zone but then go into the end zone or you know, just be a touchback.
That's the 20?
That's the 20.
Yep.
So I wonder how much Tyler Bass has been instructed by his new special teams coach or Sean McDermott or anyone, or maybe just trying it out himself. Well, how often he's kicking footballs during the off season, but
hopefully every day
working on a kick that is, you know, a line drive type kick that lands sort of, it's like a golf shot you would hit when you've got a tree limb hanging down in your way and you got 110 yards, but your lob wedge or your pitching wedge is not going to cut it. So get your four iron out and change your stance and just try to hit a low runner. Kick that ball away, you know, try to split the two returners. Now the teams are going to have two guys back there. That's been for a while now. So it's harder to miss them, I suppose, but I just think a low liner that could get past them, ideally roll right through the end zone so you can't do anything about it. You're at your 20. Like, there should be a premium on acquiring that skill if it's acquirable. Like, if you can work on that enough to the point where you trust it, man, that's a kick I want to see in a big spot. You know?
And like, this was there last year, too.
Yes.
But now it's 5 yards more of a difference.
Correct.
Now it's the 35 and not the 30 on
your
standard touchback.
Yeah, yeah. Like I'm thinking about that. There probably were examples of teams trying something like that last year that I just can't, you know, recall right now. Because sometimes those kicks kind of look like even the announcer would say, "Oh, I don't think he hit that the way he wanted to," but maybe he did. He was hoping to have it line drive through everyone, bounce at the 10-yard line, and go into the end zone.
I'm gonna dig in a little bit on the onside kick idea. This could be the kind of thing that I feel like I could run with if I could maybe show or find somebody who can show that it's really not that much of a risk. Because the league is so much more efficient. Man, it used to be so much fun 10 years ago for me to come in here and be able to hammer fourth down decisions every day. Because the league was so bad, so behind the times. And now you can't anymore. It's rare.
Yeah, someone who's bad at it is a rarity.
Right. And the coaches who are more aggressive, even McDermott qualifies, their teams are really good. Campbell. So I think the case, it's case closed on most of that stuff. But maybe this is
a new area for you.
It's going to be counterintuitive.
It's a new frontier.
Because people are going to say what you said, which is like, well, it's not a surprise. So I'm 6%. Why would I?
Yeah.
There are reasons why I think you might want to. And maybe if Tyler Bass is kicking footballs, you should be kicking these.
Yeah.
Let's figure out that onside kick. Let's find a winner. You want a repertoire
sure.
of onside kicks.
Yes.
Plus, sometimes you have to kick two in a row because the first one, you know,
there's some penalty
was out of bounds
or you get a retry, which I've never really understood why you ever get a. Anyway.
Yeah. You don't, I think. Maybe now. Yeah. If it goes out of bounds, that's it.
You're toast. Yeah.
If it's maybe touched before the 10 yards, I don't know. This is enough kicking.
This is like the soccer podcast idea again.
Yeah, it's kicking.
Yeah, sure. There's that.
It is kicking. This show is kicking. Paul's coming in to talk hockey with us just after 6. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Welcome back. Hard Knocks is going to feature the Bills. The NFL season is going to feature the tush push again. And there will be more, if you're the type to just sort of be like sick of the whole tush push discourse, I think you're in tough. I think every Eagles game, which probably like half of them will be on primetime, will just be totally about, did this team vote for it or against it? And are they running it? Are they hypocrites? Because they voted. The Bills are this, maybe.
Yeah.
The Bills have run it a ton, second to the Eagles. What that will be, every game, I think, will have like tush-push stats. And I don't know, is that adding to the...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Enjoyment. Of the NFL
product. I'm going to go ahead and go with no. I know. I should. It's not going to add, but it's I don't think it's going to be detrimental. So, you know, whatever. It's information, tendencies, teams, you know, favorite ways of doing certain things. So I don't know. I don't need to be mad about everything.
No, right.
I mean, it can be helpful in this line of work, but
it really is difficult these days to find that former level of rage towards sports things because it gets sort of it's taken in other areas. You're using that sadness and anger on like real world stuff. And, you know, how much do you have left for the tush push?
Not enough.
Hardly any.
I need more bandwidth.
I couldn't even decide whether I wanted a ban.
Right. You were kind of, you were like all over the road.
I went
on
back
this.
And forth on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think maybe some teams did. Through today.
Yeah. I mentioned this in the very first segment of our show today, and I wonder how much of what we were hearing that sounded like the momentum toward it. It almost sounded to me like a formality that it was going to go because the commissioner wanted it. And when a thing like this gets tabled from one owner's meeting to the next, it's usually because the commissioner wants it and they're going to find a way and he'll lobby and get the votes. Same thing with the playoff seating. Playoff seating got pulled before they even voted on it. Detroit just pulled it. They must have known or thought, strongly suspected, they weren't going to have the votes. And I just wonder how much of the momentum behind the tush push narrative that it was going to go through was the league hoping that teams were like you. Like, I haven't really decided. I don't know. It's not football, but I don't know. It also seems kind of penal to one team that's really perfected it, and that doesn't seem just. So, you know, I'm on the fence here. Oh, it's going to go through. Oh, well, I'll get on board with everybody because, you know, unity, right? Good for the shield. If the vote is, you know, close, it's more divisive. But if the vote is 30-2, Eagles and one other team,
I don't want to vote for a loser.
Then right. I want to be on the right side of things. I just wonder how much of what was getting leaked to reporters was that.
I think maybe there was a caucus known as the AFC South and NFC South teams that had a little meeting off to the side. I mean, like, can't we all agree this is bad for us? Is it ever not the South teams that are the four seed with the lousy record? Like, can't we all just agree that all we need is one other person to vote with us and we're done? Right. And so then one of those South teams went up to Detroit with its draw and be like, you're done. You're cooked. All of us are voting against it. So just forget it. And Detroit's like, all right, to save face, like, all right, fine. We didn't even really want it.
Yeah.
Detroit said, the commissioner made us do it. We didn't really want it. So I don't have any problem pulling it. He's not even here.
Yeah. The nice news really here is that we'll have, hopefully have a nice spring and summer, get into the fall, have a wonderful football season, and then next February, March, April, and May, we can all be debating this again because it's probably not going away, this talk about it. It'll come back up again, I would expect.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm here to keep it alive now.
Good times.
We got 4 months until anything. I'm here to keep it alive. Paul Hamilton joins us next. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Nerds!
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.